This is the Brandt and Sherry podcast, sponsored by MediShare. For more info about the show or about Brandt's book, Unoffendable, check out BrantHansen.com.
Hey there. So the other day, maybe you caught us talking about this. Not sure if you did or not. I was talking about things I would want my daughter to look for in a man. Mm-hmm. And I made a very brief list. Sherry said, hey, you ought to post that. I did yesterday. And there's like more than 1,000 shares, which is great. Mm-hmm. So people were interested in it. I'm happy about that. Thing is, whenever you make a list like that, like the way men ought to be, the way a guy ought to be, sometimes it comes off as this idealized pie in the sky list of all these qualities a man should have. I just wrote a few things, mm-hmm. and they're basic. This is stuff like, he's not a narcissist. Mm-hmm. I mean, he treats people with respect, even if they can't do anything for him. So guys who are looking at this, if they're going to look at that list and be like, oh, so Mr. Perfect is what we're trying to, like, no, this isn't perfect. Mm-hmm. This is like not being a monster.
Right. Which is not a lot to ask for.
No, it's really not. It's just basic stuff that I would never, if I was a female, I would, like, if he doesn't have those things, forget it. It's a non-starter. I'm not even talking about money, mm-hmm. Good looks, or what church he goes to. I mean, just basic stuff about being other-centered, not reacting out of anger, that kind of stuff. Anyway, if you want to see the list, I want to share it with people, that's cool. You can just go to my Facebook page. It's Brandt Hansen page on Facebook. It's just 5 things that I want my daughter to look for in a man. Yeah, honesty is a wonderful thing. Look, the first thing we had on this list of things you should look for in a guy, take responsibility. Mm-hmm. He takes responsibility for himself. He's not an excuses person. He's not like, well, I just can't. He's a victim all the time. I understand it. There's a first reaction in me that's make an excuse, mm-hmm. or be a victim.
It's not my fault. Yeah, I did it, but it's not my fault.
It's like my first reaction for everything. I get it, mm-hmm. but it's not good. Like, get some comments from guys looking at the, well, I can't be any of these things. Like, these are basic things. Well, then ask God to help you be these things. It's not like, he plays the piano beautifully. It's not that. It's basic stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, he's patient. He doesn't react out of anger. So go ahead and take responsibility for that and say, God, help me be patient. Give me wisdom and perspective on stuff so that I don't react angrily to people. Help me to treat people well who can't do anything for me, so that it's not all about me all the time. Because anybody can be nice if they think they're going to get something out of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's no big deal. But go ahead and ask God for wisdom on that stuff. Yeah, I think this is a pretty cool gig. I don't know. They need baby goat cuddlers at this farm.
You can always tell when we're going to go somewhere where you think your manliness is going to be questioned because your voice goes in like 3
octaves. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Anyway.
Nothing. Very white.
I think that's pretty cool. I could snuggle baby goats all day long, and they need somebody to do that. I don't see anything not manly about that whatsoever.
No problem. So. You're going to snuggle baby goats. Baby goats kick, don't they?
If you snuggle them right. Anyway, us guys may apply for this job. There's nothing unmanly about this at all.
Okay.
At all. This is for the kids. We like to do a little history segment to let you know what life was like way back in the day. I want you to listen to a sound, because this is a sound that we heard mm-hmm. every day. And it goes a little something like this. That sound that you're hearing right now was called a dot matrix printer.
And it's the only kind of printer we had.
This is all we had.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to print something out, it would go line by line.
With dots.
And we would have to print it out. And then there'd be sides to the paper that you'd have to pull off. So the job wasn't done when it finally printed. It was never dark enough.
No.
So mm-hmm. you would strain to see. There's no way you're going to actually see easily.
Right.
And it would go on forever.
Yes.
So if somebody else is trying to print something out, this would be all day long. And you would wait. And they'd be printing out like a birthday card. They used to have these birthday card programs.
Yes, that you can get a card for your mom. And that would take a good, 2 hours?
Oh, at least 2 hours. And then you'd have to fold it. But it would do this like forever, and then it would lose toner halfway through. But
start over.
That's what we did. This is how we lived, you guys.
It is.
Just wanted you to know that so you could understand what it was like for us and maybe why we're a little angry sometimes. This is true and good news, I think. I think it's good news about your job. If you are frustrated in your job right now, really frustrated, it does not mean that it's the wrong job. How about that? I think that's actually good news. Same thing goes with your marriage. If you're frustrated, doesn't mean you're in the wrong marriage. If you're frustrated with church people, doesn't mean you're with the wrong church people. If you're frustrated with your friends, doesn't mean you have the wrong friends. I've learned this the hard way. What's happening, like, if you don't mind me saying this, like a lot of times we think if it's not perfect, then it wasn't God's will for me to be here, or we'll put it in some other terms. If you're not a believer in God, it's like, you know, the universe wants me to be somewhere else, whatever. But the world is actually broken. So no matter where you go, there's going to be problems. But that's actually wonderful and freeing, because that means, wait a second, maybe God's going to use the frustrations to help me actually grow up. And I can do that. And we can all change in the process. I just want to see God. And then at the end, you can go, well, look what God did. I was frustrated and he actually worked that out. I kept going back to him with it. And he's amazing. The world's still broken, but man, he's amazing. Maybe you have a job that you just do not like going to right now. Look, we've all been there. I understand. Sherry, you had a job like that? Not this one?
No, not.
This one she likes a lot. You can't get enough. Can't get enough of it.
Not this one.
No.
But the one prior to this one was really difficult. And so much so, I almost would get physically ill knowing I had to go in. And everything I learned in that job, as far as technical stuff, broadcasting stuff, helped me for this job.
And that's interesting because, again, it pays off.
It does, but this paid off more than that because everything that I had to go through as far as my character,
That's what I was going to ask you about.
My quick temper, my wanting to get things straight, confrontational nature, all of that. God really worked on that there. So when I look at why I went through that or how I went through that, it's less about, hey, I'm going to the next level, more than he's changing me. He wants to change me.
That is awesome. So again, it helps you grow up different ways. Now, I've got a list here of some other ways that I could see where God could grow.
Sure. I'll be testifying about this job in a couple years.
I'm sure you will. So the Oscar nominations are out. Maybe you care about this kind of stuff. I don't know. I guess people care. And The Revenant, the Leo DiCaprio survival movie set in 1820, is out with the most nominations. Saw it a couple days ago. I'm not recommending it for everybody at all.
Okay.
For guys who are into the outdoors and stuff like that, look, I get it. Now, what's baffling to me, though, is that Sherry's mom wants to go see it. Like, I just would never in a million years. Mom.
I don't know.
Extremely feminine, older lady who wants to go see
this guy.
I would never think your mom.
Well, I'll tell you that on our DVR, there is like Davy Crockett and Bonanza and all that. I think she saw some kind of look sort of cowboyish, and maybe she saw some fringes or something, and she thought, okay, that's along the lines of what I like. Mm-mm. And I'm trying to tell her, Mom, that's not.
No. No, Mom. Mom, don't. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Anybody named Mom, don't. That's a fact. Maybe you won Powerball. Maybe you didn't. I'm guessing you didn't. I'm just going to go with that. But what if you did and your first reaction was, I need to hear Brant Sherry. I want now.
It matters.
I quit my job. I can listen to this show. Probably not, though. Here's the thing. Let's say this. Maybe not you, but there are people, I'm sure, who prayed, God, let me win Powerball. I'll be good with it. I'll do this and that. So they prayed, and some of them were probably like just kind of innocent about it. And the answer was no. So why? Might be a question. Even if it's not Powerball, it's something else that comes up. You ask God for something. God is so good. I mean, you can say, well, he must not be good. He didn't let me win the thing, get my prayer. Whatever your prayer was, maybe Powerball or something else. I prayed for this job and I didn't get it. Maybe he's so good that he does answer your prayer, but it's in light of what he knows, not just what you know. I'd want that, actually. I wouldn't want him just giving me what I say I want if he knows something better. Like, actually, this will destroy you. If you get that job, it's going to take such a toll on your family, your marriage, your whatever. If he's got your best interests in mind, I don't want him just doing whatever I say. Right? If I'm 6 years old and I might want my dad to give me a NASCAR. Well, he didn't give me a NASCAR. He must not love me. No, the fact that he didn't may mean that he loves you. Appreciate everybody pointing this out to me, that there's actually a job available to snuggle baby goats. That's a pretty cool job. I would like that job. I think even someone who would balk at that job would say, Sherry, you can't tell me.
Yeah, let's say.
How are you going to be angry about your job snuggling baby goats? You get home from work.
Well,
how are you going to complain about that?
Well, I will say that baby goats, cute as they may be in pictures, have a certain, perhaps, they smell. There's not even a good way for me to. They're animals. They smell.
Okay.
Well, so if you snuggle them all day when
how
you get home.
How long have you been working in the same studio with me? Anyway, I don't think anybody's going to get home and be like, oh, it's just a full day. I'm just busy snuggling this goat, snuggling that goat. Snuggle, snuggle, snuggle. I'm so tired of it. That's not going to happen. This guy's name is Tom. And by the way, thank you to MediShare for sponsoring our podcast. But we're happy to tell people about MediShare because of stories like we get from Tom. Tom was diagnosed with cancer, and he'd been a part of MediShare for a while and had never, ever, because you wonder, will it actually work mm-hmm. when it comes time, when I've got a big bill? So he went in, said he had tremendous stress having to deal with this. He said, usually you get this hassle of dealing with insurance companies and trying to get them to do what they said they would do, but not so with MediShare. It took him 35 days. He said, I was able to visit doctors for follow-up from the diagnosis. The doctors available through the network were numerous. The opportunity to choose the surgeon helped. They get the best technology. The facility allowed me a 48-hour hospital stay because the surgery was less invasive. Because of who I was able to pick, they were professional and efficient. On the phone, when I talked to the MediShare people, he said absolutely all of our medical expenses were shared.
Wow.
It was wonderful. He said the MediShare staff was delightful to work with, helpful, diligent, faithful, caring, compassionate, efficient, effective, and comforting.
Have you ever heard any of those words used with traditional...
We're talking about health insurance?
Yes.
I know. So this is a totally different model. He just couldn't be happier. He said it lives up to the byline about Christians helping Christians. It's people sharing their medical expenses. If you want to find out about it, maybe a great way for you to save money. It might just be an improvement in general from doing health insurance. So if you're interested, here is the phone number. It's 855-772-5699. You may want to look into this. It may be a great way for you to make your budget work in 2016. 855-772-5699. Or go to the website they set up. It's biblicalhealthcare.com. And maybe it'll be great for you or your family. Welcome to You Pull Up a Chair. We are in the Honesty Cafe. This is where they serve us awesome stacks of burnt toast, dry, way I like it. Everybody gets to eat it. Sherry loves it. I love it. You love it. And
I don't really like it. Like something else one
and
time.
Nope. And okay. Also, what's so awesome is we just ask you a question. You just got to be honest. That's all. We love talking to people who listen to the show and interviewing you. So here's a question. It's got to be honest. Shireen's sitting here. Would you say how good are you at talking to people about God? Like when God comes up, how do you feel about that?
No, I'm very, very, very bad at it.
Why do you say that?
And I think because it's something that I'm learning to, first of all, understand what my way of speaking to mm-hmm. someone about God would be. And yep. I don't want to sort of steal someone else's way because I feel like it's very personal almost in the way you talk to someone about God, because if you don't do it your way, then it comes off as fake and sort of, you know.
Right on. That is totally true. And that's something a lot of people battle, because there are really well-known, high-profile Christian speakers, writers, whatever, but they're like, here's how you do it. And you need to do it my way. It's like, well, you have a gift of evangelism. That's an actual gift in the Bible. Not everybody's gifted the same way.
Exactly. You're right. So I'm trying to learn what it is, what my way is, where it's full of grace and it's mm-hmm. not judgmental in any way. But
don't you think people can tell if you're for them or not?
Yes, that too. Yes, absolutely. That is tricky. My gut reaction is to say no. Mm-hmm. But then I stop and think about when I've actually done it and when I've actually spoken about it, and I feel like it's a very natural thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's intimidating to think about, and because I not learned, you know, I want to say I'm not good at it. But at the same time, when you're in the moment and you're talking about it and the Spirit is leading you, then it just kind of comes out.
Yeah, that's interesting. You have that thing that says I'm not learned, but who, I mean...
Neither were the disciples. The Bible's clear on that. They
right.
were
just... It says point blank that they weren't, right?
Yeah, it does. It says they mm-hmm. were not learned, but they had been with Jesus. That's what
mm-hmm.
That's what the Pharisees observed of them.
They're not learned, but they've been with Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, you may have already guessed this, but I did not win Powerball.
You have to play to win. You don't play.
I didn't play.
Right. So that's why you didn't win.
Well, that's one reason. I didn't actually do it.
Uh-huh.
But it's interesting to think how that would change dynamics. If you came into money that way or any way, mm-hmm. how it would change dynamics with your friends, coworkers. What if I did?
Okay.
So how do you think that would, like with you,
mm-hmm.
I was curious, as a coworker and friend.
Right.
Do you think that would be on your mind all the time? Like, that guy is worth $1 billion.
I don't know. I think it depends on the person. If you want it, no, I wouldn't. Because
it wouldn't be a big thing.
No, because like, doggone it, you would act exactly the same and do all the exact same things. That would probably upset
true.
Me. Like, Brant, get a new car. Just
that's
get
exactly
some new
right.
shoes. You already, come on, you
that's
have
exactly
it now.
I already
go
like
ahead.
My shoes. I already like them. I like the stuff I like my little golf. Hey, if you don't feel totally comfortable with church culture or a culture at large, I understand. Some people are misfits. They can be spiritual misfits, too. Like, they just think about things differently, feel things differently. We want you to know that you are totally welcome here. I kind of feel that way myself a lot. And it's not because God has cursed me. It's because there's a lot of us, and he invites us into the party, too. And how wonderful is that?
I was talking to my family this last weekend about, Brant, about you, and about I am not someone that most people would think feels awkward around other people. I'm outgoing. I'm usually at the center of attention, whatever. But I usually don't feel like I fit in with other people. I feel very different than most of the women around me,
mm-hmm.
Just because of the way that I come at information and things like that. But I was telling my family that the two of you and your approach to misfits being welcome and it being across the spectrum and how really most people probably feel like this in some form or another. The fact, Brant, that I think your Asperger's is a huge, huge gift mm-hmm. in the way that you're using it for someone like me, because you know that you just don't fit and there's no real reason to try to necessarily have to blend in with everybody. And so instead, you're starting to help us just learn how to be comfortable with who we are.
Good. Welcome to you, especially if you're a misfit type person, don't fit in easily in a lot of, you know, subcultural categories, just don't always feel like you just meld in real easily. We love talking about this stuff. Danielle is somebody like that too.
I also struggle with anxiety and depression, and so turning on your podcast has been like, okay, that's right, I'm made this way on purpose, it's okay if I'm struggling and going through this.
Good.
I don't have to look like those people.
Yes.
So
that's awesome.
And so I'm telling my daughter that she wants to grow up to be a herpetologist. That's someone, you know, the study of lizards. That's mm-hmm. her dream right now. And I'm like, you are going to be the best herpetologist ever. Mm-hmm. And you are going to be, it's going to be because of you with high functioning autism. There's going to be something about you that's going to be able to help others break through in their area, you know, in their area of uncomfortableness.
I got to tell you too, if I met someone and I said, what do you do? And she said, I'm a herpetologist. I'd be like, hello, fascinating friend. More good news for you. If you're like in your 20s and you're thinking, boy, when I get to be middle age, I'm going to be really upset that I'm old. And another study says actually middle-aged people tend to be happier. And I can guess why. There's probably several reasons for it. But one reason, sometimes the fear of the thing is a lot worse than the thing. And like the fear of failing. Like, what if I fail? What if I don't get this career that I set out to get? And then I won't be a... And then when something actually happens that confirms the fear, it's not as bad as you think. And then you don't fear failure all the time. people who are middle-aged tend to have failed and survived. But sometimes it's the failure that pushes you to be more mature. I hope that makes sense.
It like, does.
Yeah, because failure teaches you so much. It may be a career. It may be a failed marriage. It may be failed other stuff. But you realize, wait, the world's still going on. God still loves me. Not everything rides on whether I... In fact, it's not even all about me. How wonderful. I don't have to build this thing, this resume, this thing. Got to get ready. I mean, that's natural when you're young to feel that way. But the sooner you get over it, frankly, generally speaking, this study confirms it, the happier you'll be. Hey, maybe you're like this too. People look at you and they're like, oh, you're the cutting edge one. You're the guy who's on the edge. You know fashion. You know how to look good, how to keep up with the trends, how to set the trends.
Uh-huh. You said two, so you're saying you're like that. Mm-hmm. And
well, maybe you're like that too. Maybe you're female. People look to you to set the trends and stuff, or you're like up with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. I'm going to feel like I let people down because I'm not going to do this one.
Okay.
The new trend for 2016 is to make your hair glow in the dark. There's glow in the dark dye. I don't want to do it.
Why?
I don't want to keep my wife up at night like that. I don't. I didn't need that. I just don't want to. I'm just going to sit this one out. I bet get disillusioned and they'll be like, hey,
say,
but you're the one. You're the guy.
People are going to be so disappointed when they always see your hair not glowing.
You're always on point or on fleek.
Okay.
If you will.
Can we stop here?
What?
Let's just stop.
What?
Fleek.
Can't say fleek?
You can't know.
Anyway, Brant, you're always on fleek. I'm like, well, this time I'm not. So that's
he's fleekless.
Yeah. Fleek free.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. The Brant and Sherry podcast is sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about MediShare, call 855-772-5699.